and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The tight Republican race for the presidency is zeroing in on Missouri this weekend. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Missouri is just one of 11 states with delegates to the national convention still to be doled out. The fact that both President Ford and Ronald Reagan have traveled to the Missouri State Convention, where only 19 delegates are at stake, and have plans for similar campaign trips to other states, shows vividly how important those last pockets of support are. The president left Missouri after private and separate meetings with selected state convention delegates, telling them his administration has a good record and he is an electable candidate. Ronald Reagan's turn is next. His meetings will end with an address to the convention Saturday. Democrat Jimmy Carter says he has at least 125 more delegates than he needs to win the Democratic presidential nomination, but is concerned about minority representation at his party's national convention, according to his press secretary. Carter will meet with Alabama Governor George Wallace Saturday in Montgomery. Wallace, a former candidate himself for the presidency, has endorsed Carter as the choice of the people. Now this.
When we go on vacation, we take our kids along, and we always stay Ramada, cause there we can't go wrong. 18 years or younger at Ramada, you don't pay for kids that stay in your room, and that is why we say, we're Ramada regulars, Ramada's where we stay, cause we take our kids with us when we go away.
At Ramada Inns, kids 18 and under stay free when they stay in their parents' room. Cribs for the little ones are free, and there's only a small charge for rollaway beds. Good reasons why so many people who travel with their families join the Ramada Regulars and prefer to stay with us whenever they go on vacation.
We're Ramada Regulars, Ramada's where we stay, cause we take our kids with us when we go away. We're Ramada Regulars, Ramada's
where we stay. For reservations, call your travel agent or your nearest Ramada Inn.
A paroled rapist has taken authorities on a cross-country grave-digging trip. Bob Kaplitz of station WTVJ in Miami has more on the story.
Florida police plan to spend the weekend in Connecticut with confessed murderer Robert Carr, who says he can take them to the body of a fourth victim. So far, Carr has led officers to the bodies of three Florida youths in Louisiana and Mississippi. In Miami, William Huntley, the father of a 16-year-old girl Carr allegedly raped and murdered, says he's upset that Carr was paroled on an earlier rape charge.
I can't understand how people can walk around the streets like this and do this thing to little children and get away with it. And their lawyers say that they're sick. And yet they can take them to the grave sites. They can remember every place they've been. And I just can't understand it. Can't understand a judicial system that would let a man like this walk around on the streets.
Carr's attorney says his defense will probably be insanity. Bob Kaplitz for CBS News, Miami.
Officials in Buenos Aires report heavily armed men stormed into two hotels in that city Friday morning and seized over two dozen political refugees. Bob Trossel has more on the story.
A total of 26 persons have been kidnapped in two separate incidents in Buenos Aires, including 24 Chilean political refugees, one Uruguayan political refugee, and a Paraguayan hotel manager. The abductions occurred within an hour of each other at two Buenos Aires hotels, only hours after the government issued an official communique claiming that all political refugees were safe in Argentina. The government has not made any official comment on these latest kidnappings. 2 days ago, a group of armed men broke into the headquarters for the Catholic Committee on International Migration, an organization responsible for 60% of the Latin American political refugees in Argentina, and stole lists of names and addresses of political refugees living here. The United Nations High Commission on Refugees in Buenos Aires has said it fears for the safety of political refugees here. A number of political refugees have been kidnapped and murdered in recent weeks. Bob Trossel for CBS News, Buenos Aires.
CBS News continues after this message.
Secret Seat. Bert Hirschfeld's newest novel, Bigger Than Aspen, More Exciting Than Fire Island. It's about an expensive little town with lots of little secrets. The secrets of a teacher who taught his students the facts of life outside the classroom. The secrets of a psychiatrist who used a bed instead of a couch. The secrets of a beautiful woman for whom one man is never enough. Secrets. Bert Hirschfeld's newest bestseller, a pocketbook. Secrets.
This is Michael Learned. I'm going to ask you for money for RIF. Reading is fundamental. RIF is a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. Many of these children are in inner cities, in Appalachia, on reservations, places where they may never learn to read. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Please send a tax-deductible donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
J. Paul Getty may not be buried for 6 months, according to Los Angeles officials, because of legal problems. California prohibits burial on private land, and Getty's desire was that his last resting place be near his art museum in Malibu. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, and the time is 10:06.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. We call ourselves modern, don't we? We say these are modern times. The years past are prehistoric or ancient or medieval. We say with some pride that we are modern, as though we'd smartened up considerably and discarded old, worn-out, discredited theories and practices. Yet our medicine has its roots in antique magic, and our science has its origins in archaic superstition. Without magic and superstition, it is unlikely we could have survived to become modern.
She has everything. A loveliness to take your breath away. She has sweetness and gaiety. But she has something else. I don't know what it is.
She has a wild talent. She's always had it.
But what is it, a wild talent?
No one knows precisely. Except those, perhaps, who take the trouble to learn.
Our mystery drama, The Red Frisbee, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, over 400,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 400,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. At Ramada Inns, kids 18 and under stay free in their parents' room. Cribs for the little ones are free. And there's only a small charge for rollaway beds. Good reasons why so many people who travel with their families join the Ramada Regulars and prefer to stay with us whenever they go on vacation.
We're Ramada Regulars, Ramada's where we stay. Cause we take our kids with us when we go away.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Earth's loveliest seas is the Caribbean. In a gentle curve on the bosom of that sea lie the islands known as the Antilles. A man has come to one of these islands not only for the brilliant sky, the soft sands, the hot sun, and the cooling winds, but for the quiet and the isolation that only an island can give. What he finds there, we will tell you in this tale. I'd come to the island after 3 years spent with an Aboriginal tribe in the interior of Australia. I needed to relax and reflect and try to sort out the ideas I wanted to incorporate into my article for the Anthropological Journal and later expand into a book. With me, I'd brought my voluminous notes, a suitcase full of old clothes, and my dog.
Haven't you had enough? Okay, one more time. Okay, fetch. Ha ha ha, good dog.
He's so beautiful.
What?
He's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
Have you always had him?
Sure, since he was a puppy. He's been all over the world with me. We just spent 3 years in Australia together before we came here.
Look, here he comes. What's he got in his mouth?
Oh, that's a frisbee.
A what?
A frisbee. You know, one of those round plastic things that you throw, you know.
No, I don't know. I never had a frisbee.
Oh, well, they're kind of fun. They go sailing through the air. All right, drop it, boy. Drop it.
Oh, he doesn't want to. He knows he looks handsome with a red frisbee in his mouth. With his black hair and all. What kind of dog is he?
Labrador Retriever. All right, drop it, boy. Good boy. That's enough now.
I'll throw it again for him. I like to see him swim with it in his mouth. He looks so beautiful.
Okay. Fetch!
Oh, he's a good swimmer, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Will he swim out very far?
Well, as far as I can throw the frisbee, I guess.
That's wonderful.
You like to swim?
I can't.
You can't swim? You live on this wonderful island and you can't swim?
I used to be able to.
What happened?
I forgot how.
You forgot?
Yes. Oh, here he comes with his red frisbee.
How could you forget?
I just forgot. Oh, look. He wants you to throw it for him again.
You'd do this all day if I throw it for him.
And would he swim very far up?
I suppose he would.
All dogs can swim, I guess.
No, not right away. They have to be taught.
Like people?
Not exactly, but they have to be made to realize that they can. That's about what it amounts to, I guess.
They don't always know that they can.
They're as surprised as anybody when they find out.
That's fascinating. Are you going to throw the frisbee again?
Well, I think he's had enough for today. We both have.
Will you be coming back tomorrow?
Yeah, I imagine so.
Maybe I'll see you here.
That'd be nice.
Well, bye, Ben.
Bye. Hey, wait a minute. You, a young lady.
What?
How did you know my name?
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. I watched her swinging off down the beach. I judged she might be about 17, though she could as well have been 12 or 20. She wore a sort of shapeless smock. Her legs were a ruddy brown from the sun, and her hair was streaked in shades of gold. I remembered her eyes, which were the startling blue of Delft china. I heard again her clear young voice calling,
"Goodbye, Ben. See you tomorrow."
And the next day, I was on the beach early in the morning. Not now, boy. No. We're waiting for someone. Well, what is it, boy? Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? Come back here. He'd seen her before I did, before she rounded the curve in the shoreline. Or had he simply sensed her coming? Or what? At any rate, there she was, swinging down the beach toward me.
Hello.
Hello there.
You're out early.
So are you.
I didn't keep you waiting, did I?
No, I'd have waited all day.
Oh, you wouldn't have had to do that. I knew you were here. I had to do something for my mother first.
How'd you know I was here?
I knew.
But how?
The way a person knows those things.
But people don't just know those things.
Don't they?
Oh, you saw me from your house. Where do you live? Do you have a place on the beach?
Oh, no. We live in the Great House.
What's the Great House?
It's just a house. They call it the Great House because it used to be where the governor lived. The Spanish governor, a long time ago. Ben, aren't you going to throw the red frisbee for the dog? See, he wants you to.
How'd you know my name is Ben?
I guess you told me.
I never told you. You never asked. I never told you, but when you left yesterday, you said, "Goodbye, Ben."
Why don't you throw the frisbee?
Ben is my name. But you had no way of knowing that. My name
is... I really don't care what your name is. May I throw the red frisbee?
Sure, go ahead if you want to.
I do want to. There, fetch boy. Why, he does swim beautifully.
What's your name?
Nikki. You told me yesterday that dogs had to learn how to swim.
Now, what I said was they have to find out that they can swim. It's true of people, too. Probably we can all swim, but we have to find out at some time or other that we can. It's quite a discovery for a person or a dog.
How did your dog find out he can swim?
Well, it was when we were in Australia. I made a weekend trip to the Great Barrier Reef, and of course I took him along. I was sitting on the beach with him the way we're sitting now, and I had this red frisbee, the same one I have now, and I threw it into the water. And he plunged in after it and brought it back. Next time, I threw it further, and he brought it back. I'd never thrown it so far that he couldn't stand up in the water. But then I did. I threw it way out to where the water was over his head.
But he went after it?
Oh, yes. And he got to about 3 feet away from it, and all of a sudden his feet didn't touch bottom anymore. But he stretched his neck out and grabbed the frisbee anyway between his teeth. And he tried to turn around to bring it back to me, and that was when he found out he couldn't touch bottom.
And he started to swim?
Not yet. He sank under the water.
Oh, no.
He came up again right away. He looked so surprised, and then he went under again.
What did you do? Did you just stand there?
He went down for the third time, and I started in after him.
I should hope.
But before I got to him, he started to swim, paddling away like mad. You know the way dogs do?
Oh, I know.
And there was such a look in his eyes, such a look of triumph, belief in himself. It was as though his ancestors from way back, hundreds of thousands of years ago, had whispered to him somehow down the ages, as though they'd said, "You know how, you can do it." And he did it. I've never forgotten that.
That's a beautiful story, Benedict.
Hey, it's true. What did you call me just now?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You called me Benedict. Yesterday, you called me Ben. Well, that could be a lucky guess, but Ben is usually short for Benjamin. And my name is Benedict. And that's what you called me.
Well, if that's your name.
Yes, but how did you know? How could you know that?
You're kind of hurting my arm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ben, would you like to meet my mother? I'd like you to.
All right. Anytime.
Will you come this afternoon for tea?
I'd love to.
Ask anybody where the Great House is. Everybody knows the Great House.
All right.
Oh, and Benedict, be sure to bring your dog with you.
It was easy to see why it had been called the Great House. The woodwork was solid mahogany and carved. The doors were mahogany, too, nearly 6 inches thick. The rooms were large and square and full of sunlight. The girl, Nikki, met me at the door and took me to her mother. A beautiful woman with the same delft blue eyes.
This is Benedict, Mother. And this is his dog.
I'm so glad, Mrs.
Oh, why don't you call me Monica? Since you and Nikki are such good friends, we're very informal here.
Well, thank you.
Ben, may I take the dog down to the beach?
Nikki, please.
I just want to throw the red frisbee for him.
Please, Nikki.
May I, Ben?
Well, if you want to.
I won't stay long.
I hope you don't think my daughter's rude. She has strange ways, but she's a good girl.
She's a wonderful girl.
Oh? You think so?
She has everything. She has a loveliness that takes your breath away.
Yes, she is lovely.
She has sweetness and gaiety.
Yes.
But she has something else. I don't know what that is.
You don't?
Do you?
She has a wild talent.
A what?
A wild talent.
Well, what is that? What is a wild talent?
No one knows precisely, except perhaps those who take the trouble to learn.
All talent is wild, really. It comes from heaven knows where. It cannot be coaxed or bribed or bought. It cannot be cultivated. It cannot be manufactured or in any way acquired. But no matter where it comes from or in whom it resides, talent is never a tame thing. It is always wild, as the winds are wild, as the seas are wild, as the world was in its beginnings and as it remains at its core, wild. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Just because Father's Day has become a tradition doesn't mean you have to give Dad the traditional kind of gift. Hi, Pat Summerall here for True Value Hardware Stores to suggest this Father's Day you give Dad the useful workshop tool he's been wanting instead of another shirt or tie. Right now, True Value Hardware Stores offer the Stanley 12-foot power lock tape measure for just $4.50. It locks open at any length, won't creep back into the case while he's measuring and give him a wrong answer. And when he's finished, a touch of the power return button retracts the tape automatically. The Stanley Power Lock Tape Measure from your True Value Hardware Store has a Mylar-protected safety yellow blade that's easy to read and easy to see, too. And the long-lasting blade can be replaced for years of extra use. The Stanley 12-foot Power Lock Tape Measure, priced at just $4.50, is one of the many useful Father's Day gifts you'll find at the participating True Value Hardware Store near your home. For the one nearest you, look under Hardware in the yellow pages. And remember, you can charge your purchase on Master Charge at many stores.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids, but without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
On sands the color of a ripe peach, on an island in the blue waters of the Caribbean Sea, Benedict has met a girl called Nikki, who lives with her mother in a stately home called the Great House. Nikki has persuaded Benedict to come to the Great House to meet her mother. But no sooner had introductions been made than she asked to be excused to take Benedict's dog to the beach, leaving Benedict alone with her mother.
I hope you don't think my daughter rude. She has a wild talent.
A wild talent? Is that what you said?
You've never heard of such a thing?
Well, I can't say I have. What is a wild talent?
Well, no one knows precisely. If you take the trouble to find out.
Well, what is it? Is it mystical? Is it magical?
Would it help if I said that it had something to do with extrasensory perception? Thought transference?
Did your daughter tell you that she knew my name without my ever having mentioned it?
No, she didn't tell me. But then she wouldn't.
And not only that, she called me Ben, which is my nickname. And the next day she called me Benedict, my given name. Suppose she was lucky in guessing that I'm generally called Ben. She could have assumed it was the diminutive of Benjamin, a pretty common name. But she didn't. She called me Benedict, a fairly uncommon name. I'm surprised she didn't mention it to you.
Nikki's very casual about such things. She takes them for granted.
But does she think that everyone is so intuitive? Doesn't she realize that she is somehow different?
I don't think she gives it any thought at all.
Tell me, has she always had this wild talent?
She never showed any sign of it, at least none that I noticed, until 2 years ago.
Yes?
Until her brother died.
Oh. Oh, she didn't tell me. I didn't know she'd had a brother.
He was drowned.
Oh, I am sorry.
Well, my goodness, you were invited here for tea and I've never given you any.
Oh, that's quite all right.
No, I'll put the water on right away. It won't take but a minute.
There's no hurry. Nikki?
Oh, it's you.
Your mother's in the kitchen. She'll be right back. Nikki, are you all right? You look a little... You're not feeling ill or anything, are you?
I'm all right.
Well, did you two have a good time with the red frisbee?
Oh, yes. I threw it very far out.
Well, fine.
Tea will be ready shortly.
Nikki's back.
Nikki? Nikki, go upstairs immediately and lie down.
The tide turned.
Go upstairs, take a hot bath, and lie down in your room.
Yes, Mother. You see, the tide turned, and I had to come back.
I'm sorry, Benedict.
What's the matter with her? She said the tide turned.
It was when the tide turned that her brother drowned. Benedict, I don't think we can have our tea today, but... Come back tomorrow, will you? And I'll explain what she meant when she said the tide turned.
I wasn't sure that I'd see Nikki on the beach the next morning. She'd looked so pale, so ill when she returned to the Great House the previous afternoon, as though she'd seen a ghost, would be the way some people would have described it. And from the little I'd learned of her brother's death, I thought this might indeed be true. Nevertheless, I went to the beach at my accustomed early hour in the company of my dog
carrying in his mouth his beloved red frisbee. The dog looked up suddenly, just as he had the day before. The frisbee dropped onto the sand, and he started his gallop down the sand. I knew then that Nikki would soon come into sight. And so she did, her loose smock blowing in the wind, her brown legs carrying her confidently, almost arrogantly, toward me.
Hi, Benedict.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm glad.
Where's the red frisbee? He wants you to throw it.
Let's hear.
May I throw it for him?
Certainly.
Thatch, boy.
How's your mother?
Oh, she's fine. I'm sorry you didn't get any tea yesterday.
Oh, that's all right.
She thought she should look after me.
Did you do what she said? Did you take a hot bath and lie down in your room?
Of course. That's what I always do.
Nikki, does the turning of the tide always upset you?
It turns at different times, you know. Sometimes it's rather gentle, and sometimes it isn't gentle at all.
Well, that depends on the sun and the moon.
Does it?
It's because of the attraction of the sun and the moon that the tides ebb and flow. They act unequally on the waters of the earth. They disturb their equilibrium. Do you understand?
All I know is that here they happen quickly. Sudden. There's no warning.
Well, that's because...
Well, never mind why it is. I wouldn't understand it anyway. I'm not clever like you. All I know is that when the tide goes out so fast... So fast. One hardly has time. Oh, here he is. With his red frisbee. May I throw it again?
Of course.
Mitch!
Nikki,
Did you like my mother?
Very much.
What a pity I had to spoil everything.
You didn't spoil anything.
Oh, yes, I did.
No. As a matter of fact, she invited me to come back today for tea. And I accepted.
And you do like her?
I told you I...
Because I know she likes you.
Did she say so?
No, not in those words, but I know she does.
Now, just how would you know a thing like that,
Do you think I have to be told things in order to know them? Or read them in a book? People often tell things that are not true, and books can be wrong. But when you know... Well, then you know.
That afternoon at the great house, things went almost exactly as they had the day before. Nikki greeted me, then greeted my dog, then said...
Did you bring the red frisbee with you?
Of course. We never go anywhere without it.
Mother will be down in a minute. She knows you're here. May I take the dog to the beach and throw the frisbee for her?
Well, if you want to, but...
I do want to.
Nikki, where are you going?
To the beach.
I wish you'd stay. I am sorry, Ben.
Oh, that's all right. She enjoys the dog. Let her.
Well, she's forever doing this.
Doing what exactly?
Bringing men home to meet me and leaving us alone. Men of all ages, all nationalities. I think she wants to marry me off or something.
That shouldn't be hard, provided you wanted to cooperate.
After my son was drowned, I was very melancholy for a long time. Very long time. I shut myself in my room, wouldn't talk to anyone for almost a year. Finally, my husband grew tired of a wife who was no wife at all, and he left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wish I could have been. Actually, I didn't care. Well, now... Let's have our tea, shall we? This time I have it all ready for you. And some little cakes.
Oh, splendid. I'm hungry. I spent a long time on the beach today, and it gave me quite an appetite.
Well, help yourself. Lemon or milk?
A little milk, please. Nikki informed me on the beach this morning that you like me.
Well, I do. Here's your tea.
Thank you. I asked her if you'd said so, and she said no, that she just knew.
As usual, her instincts are right.
She She has a great contempt for things that are learned and a great devotion to things which are simply known.
I've never been quite sure just what she means.
Why can't she swim?
Oh, well, she used to swim quite well.
What happened? Did it have something to do with the tides, with the turning of the tide?
It had everything to do with the turning of the tide.
I'm curious. Living on an island, one would think she would... But if you don't want to tell me...
I've never talked about it since it happened. But since it happened, Nikki hasn't been able to swim. Not a stroke. She's tried, poor child, but she just can't.
She says she's forgotten how.
How can one forget a thing like that? I thought it was something once learned, never forgotten. Nikki forgot how to swim the day her brother was drowned. They'd gone in the ocean together. On a beautiful day, just like this one.
Well, if you don't want to talk about
no,
it...
No, I do. I do. They swam out to where some rocks jutted out into the sea. And they played on the rocks for a while, sunned themselves, went back into the water again. It was then, just then, that the tide turned.
It started to go out?
The tides turn suddenly down here. They can catch you unawares. At first, they laughed. Really, they laughed, so Nikki told me later. But as the receding tide grew stronger, they stopped laughing and clung to the rocks. They started shouting for help. No one.
Please, don't go on.
They grew weaker, and it grew harder to hold on to the slippery rocks. The tide grew stronger, and at last my son let go. And the tide started to carry him out to sea. Nikki swam after him, but she couldn't quite reach him. And then...
Please.
Some natives who had just beached their boat saw them, and they knew immediately what had happened. They went out after them. They reached them. At least they reached Nikki. They hauled her into the boat. And then they turned to save her brother. But it was too late. He'd gone under. He never came to the surface again.
There was so little I could say when Monica finished her tragic story. I got up to go, sickened by the inadequacy of my own limp words. But at the door, she said...
Come back tomorrow, will you, Benedict? Come early.
If you want me to.
I do. I do. Tomorrow morning. I need to talk to you. You think you've heard everything, but there's more. Oh, there's more.
Have you ever been a guest in a house far grander, far more beautiful than your own? Perhaps it overlooked the bluest of seas, and flowers grew all around it. Palms and pines, and little yellow birds that perched on their branches. And perhaps you thought to yourself, how could anyone ever be unhappy in such a house? Well, as our story has intimated, and will later reveal, anyone can. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Well, sir, I see you're one of the many people who bought a new Buick Century.
That's right. Boy, you want to talk about roomy and comfortable. Just take a look in there. Go ahead.
But you have curtains hanging in your car.
Yes, and wallpaper, too.
Well, why's that?
Well, we like the Century so much, we decided to sell a house and live in it.
Huh. Well, doesn't that get just a little crowded?
Oh, I suppose it might after a while, but we aren't home that much.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a little Skyhawk up north.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories, relieves pain and itch, helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
Parents, reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
Caribbean island, in her home called the Great House, the woman called Monica has been telling Benedict the tragic story of the drowning of her son 2 years before. The boy's sister, Nikki, had been saved, but her brother drowned. Unable to go on with the tragic tale, Benedict took his leave.
The next morning, I took my dog to the beach, proudly carrying his red frisbee in his mouth. I was prepared to wait for Nikki to appear around the bend in the shoreline, but I found her waiting for me, staring intently out to sea.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, here we are.
I want to talk to you.
Well, how about him? He wants you to throw the frisbee for him.
Later I will. I have to tell you something.
What's that?
My mother loves you.
Oh, now, Nikki, you couldn't possibly know a thing like that.
I do know it.
It's impossible. We've only met twice.
But you're going to see her again this morning. She told me.
No, she wants to talk to me about something.
She loves you.
It's impossible. We hardly know each other at all.
What difference does that make? She hasn't loved anyone for 2 years, and now she loves you, and you...
What about me?
You... Do you love her?
What do you think?
I don't know.
What's happened to your wild talent?
Oh, that.
That's what your mother calls your way of knowing what other people are thinking and feeling.
Everybody wants to give names to things. They think once they've given something a name, they've got it pinned down. Like your dog. He's not really a dog. He's what he is. And he wouldn't be any less than what he is if we called him something else. Or didn't call him anything at all. So why call having feelings about people a wild talent? Why call it anything?
I think I see what you mean. Look, it's time for me to go see your mother. You want to come with me?
I think I'd rather stay here with your dog. I'll throw the frisbee for him. See, he wants me to.
All right. And when you get tired of that, come to the Great House.
Maybe I will.
I walked slowly to the Great House, not really knowing that I wanted to hear the end of Monica's story. She'd been so distressed the day before. But I'd given my word, and when she admitted me, she seemed composed and cordial.
Thank you for coming, Benedict.
Well, I said I would.
Well, where's your big black dog? I'm used to seeing you two together.
I left him on the beach with Nikki.
Did she say anything to you this morning about me?
Well...
Did she? Please tell me.
She said... I don't know where the notion came from. I'm sure not from you. She said that you were fond of me.
She said more than that, didn't she?
Yes. She said that you loved me.
Yes, she told me that, too, that I loved you. I'm sorry, Ben. I hope it didn't embarrass you.
Not really.
You see, ever since her brother's death and her father's desertion, she's been trying to find someone for me to love, someone to replace the loss. She brings men to the house the way you'd bring gifts to someone who was ill.
That's very sweet.
Sweet, yes, but futile. Well, now, I told you yesterday that I had more to tell you about the day my son was drowned.
Monica, it must be painful for you to talk about
it. No, it's not the drowning I want to talk about.
No?
It's what came after, when the natives came to this house. One of them came into the room, this room, and he told me about the turning of the tide, about the children clinging to the rocks, about the letting go, about setting out in the boat to save them. And I waited, of course, to hear that they'd been rescued. There was a silence for a few seconds. And then the man said, "The girl is alive, ma'am." And I said, "What about the boy?" And there was another silence. And then he said, "Ma'am, the boy was drowned." And I stared at him. I was filled with horror and shock. Terrible shock.
Oh, of course.
And then I heard myself say, I heard myself. The words simply just burst from me. I never meant, but I said it. Not gently, not softly. It was a cry from my heart. I said, "Oh, why did it have to be the boy?"
Oh, my.
No, wait. You haven't heard it all. You haven't heard the worst. I heard myself saying those terrible words, and then I looked up, and standing in the doorway was Nikki. Nikki, my daughter. And the look on her face, the stricken look on her young face. She couldn't have misunderstood what I meant. But if one of them had to be saved and one had to die, why couldn't it have been the boy who was saved? Why couldn't she have been the one to die?
What can I say?
What can anyone say? I've tried to atone for my awful words. There is no atoning. I said them. I meant them when I said them. And she knew. What has happened is that Nikki has been trying to give me back my son in some way. Anyway, any man who was attracted to her, and many have been, she's brought to me. Laid them at my feet, so to speak, offering them to me as though she were the guilty one because she lived while her brother died.
That's Nikki at the door with my dog. She said she might... Well, shall I let her in or shall I tell her to wait or go back to the beach?
Tell her to go back. I can't, not right now.
Of course. Where's Nikki, boy? It's just the dog. Nikki's not with him.
Where would she be?
I left her with the dog at the beach. Monica, the dog's telling us something.
Well, Nikki, where is Nikki?
Come on, let's go to the beach. She's not here.
What are you looking for?
The red frisbee.
What for?
I don't know, except she said she was going to stay here and throw it for the dog.
Well, why would she have changed her mind? Why did the dog come to the house without her?
Could she have gone someplace else?
Where? Why?
She'd have taken the dog with her.
Ben, I see something.
What?
Out there in the water.
Could be.
Nikki can't swim.
I'm going in. It could be her.
I'm going to fetch a boat. One of the fishermen.
Hurry. If that's Nikki, she's pretty far out.
I see a boat. Help! Help!
The fishermen with their boat got to her before I did, and it was they who saved her. When the doctor had been called, treated her for exhaustion, ordered her to bed, and left, Monica joined me downstairs in the drawing room of the great house. She's going to be all right.
Yes. Thank God.
In a few days...
Benedict.
Yes, Monica?
Nicky was right. I do love you.
Because I saved your daughter? No, I didn't do that. The natives did.
I loved you before that. Nicky knew it right away.
Oh, that wasn't love. It may have seemed like love, but it wasn't. You felt gratitude. You felt relief. Because after 2 years, you told me the story of the drowning and all that came after. You trusted me to understand, and I think I did. There's a feeling that mothers have for their sons that's unlike any other. It's the closest thing to pure love that a woman can feel. Now, I don't know why this should be so, but it's so. No. No, you don't love me, Monica. Well, now I'd like to go up and say goodbye to Nicky.
You're leaving?
Mm-hmm. Going back to the mainland.
I hope you'll come back one day.
Oh, I shall. I shall.
Come in, Ben.
Hello.
You knew who it was, didn't you?
Of course.
I'm leaving tomorrow, Nicky. I came to say goodbye.
Oh. When are you coming back?
Oh, next year. After I've done some writing. You knew I'd come back, didn't you?
Of course.
Nicky, when I swam out to try and save you...
You didn't really have to do that, you know.
I was afraid you'd drown.
But I was swimming.
You can't swim. You told me...
I was swimming. Not very well. But I was swimming. It came back to me.
Why did you swim so far out? When they picked you up, the water was way over your head...
I had to.
Nicky, were you trying to drown yourself?
I told you. I was swimming.
Yeah, but so far out.
I was looking for my brother.
Nicky, you must have known you couldn't find your brother.
I had to try. I've been trying for so long to give her something. Someone. I couldn't.
It's not up to you, Nicky. Your mother has to find someone to love who loves her. She has to do that by herself.
If I could do it for her, she'd forgive me.
Forgive you for what?
For... I don't know. For...
For being alive?
I guess so. Yes.
Nobody has to be forgiven for that, Nicky. It's not a sin to be alive.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure. Nicky, when I was swimming out to try and rescue you, I found something floating on the water. I found this.
Oh, why, it's the red frisbee.
The waves should have brought it back to shore. Why didn't they?
Because I kept it with me. It's how I learned to swim again. Remember, you told me how your dog found out he could swim? How you kept throwing the frisbee further and further until he was over his head? And how it came to him all of a sudden that he could swim? Well, that's what I did. I kept throwing the frisbee out further and further, and suddenly it came to me. I could swim. Ben, it was just like you said about the dog. I felt so triumphant. I believed in myself.
Nicky, I have to go now.
Ben, you love me, don't you?
Now, how did you know that?
I just knew.
You haven't lost your wild talent after all, have you?
Oh, that.
It's a beautiful thing to have a wild talent.
I suppose so.
Do you by any chance love me?
I don't know. Not yet.
Maybe it'll come to you. I hope when it does, you'll discover that you do love me.
Next year. When you come back, then I'll know.
While I was packing, the dog sat watching me, the red frisbee in his mouth. There was always a chance we might go back to the beach again. And I thought, what will Nikki say a year from now? Will she say yes, she loves me? A warm feeling swept over me, a certainty that she would. A bright glow of anticipation. She loves me even now, I thought. She just needs time to find it out. What do you think? I said to my dog. And he dropped the red frisbee on the floor, stood up on his hind legs, and licked my face. Was he trying to tell me that I would still have his love, even if I couldn't have hers? Or was he telling me that I was right? That I, too, had a wild talent. Does a wild talent live in each of us? Can we stop trying to be so clever, so learned, so successful, and return somehow to what we call primitive? To the style of living where our feelings count for more than our brains, where our feelings count for everything, if they are free and tuned to the world we inhabit and the creatures that inhabit it with us? Once again, I can only ask the question. I do not have the answer. I'll be back shortly.
And now, Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Clocks.
Tonight we join Richmond City's wealthiest widows as they chat over coffee.
My dear, considering our wealth and position, what would you say we are?
Rich, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. And what are we drinking?
Coffee, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. Now, put the two together and what have we got?
Rich coffee.
Oh, no, you ninny. Oh. In now our coffee. What's here in this pitcher?
Coffee Rich? Why, it tastes so light and creamy.
Of course, Hortense. And Coffee Rich is very convenient for us, too. You just keep it in the fridge, ready for use at a moment's notice.
Oh, Mildred, with good help so hard to find these days, it's heartwarming to know there's a non-dairy creamer that's so convenient and delicious.
Yes, dear. And it's in such good taste.
Just like you, Mildred.
Oh, thank you,
dear. Be with us tomorrow for the continuing serialization of the Coffee Rich Coffee Clock.
Oh, yes. And Coffee Rich is marvelous on cereal, don't you know?
Don't I know what?
Oh, Ninny.
If you've got a question about lemons, the makers of Minute Maid have the answer.
If I wanted to taste a fresh lemon and didn't want to bother squeezing them, what could I use instead?
Try the first fresh-tasting pure lemon juice in a bottle. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
I love lemon juice, but the taste of bottled lemon juice doesn't make it in my house. What's the alternative?
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. The leading bottle brand contains chemical preservatives that you can actually smell.
Everything I use has to be really fresh, including my lemon juice. And you just can't put that in a bottle.
We did. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. We squeeze fresh lemons and freeze the pure whole juice. You buy it frozen and keep it in your refrigerator.
I can't handle squeezing lemons. And for my iced tea, I need a really good-tasting lemon juice.
You've got it. Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. Delicious in iced tea. Delicious in anything because it's the only pure lemon juice in a bottle. Look for it in your grocer's frozen juice section.
They say that when Gertrude Stein was dying, and knew that she was dying, she turned to her friend and companion of many years and said, "Alice, what is the answer?" And Alice replied, "No one knows." Then Miss Stein, after a long look at her friend, said, "All right, then. What is the question?" Our cast included Robert Dryden, Jada Rowland, and Terry Keane. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure
in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
And beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. American and Mexican officials will soon begin discussions on an exchange of prisoners held on drug charges. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Secretary of State Kissinger is in Mexico for talks with President Echeverria and other top Mexican officials. The prisoner exchange idea reportedly came out of a meeting the secretary had with the Mexican foreign minister. About 500 Americans are being held in Mexican jails on drug charges. An even greater number of Mexicans are in U.S. jails. Kissinger also says the United States will not consider normalizing its relations with Cuba until the last Cuban soldier has left Angola. He says the State Department has not been able to confirm that Cuban troops are in fact being withdrawn, as promised by Cuban Premier Fidel Castro. John Lawrence has more on the story from Luanda.
The best informed sources on the question of Cuban involvement in Angola say Cuban troops, technicians, and political advisors will leave only when they are no longer needed. The Cubans are being integrated into our society, one official said. We need their help to reconstruct our country. The Cuban presence in Luanda appears to be as low-key as the original U.S. involvement in Vietnam, when 12,000 American advisors appeared in Saigon in the early 1960s. Green-uniformed Cuban officers armed with pistols appear occasionally in public places, back from the scattered fighting in the South, for a few days of rest and recreation. John Lawrence, CBS News, Luanda.
CBS News continues after this.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink, Dubonnet.
Before that's time to say, I'll have a glass of Dubonnet before a meal by day or night. Dubonnet is always right before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Think of Dubonnet as an appetizer, a wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's right for your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks with a twist or soda, the distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for
USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Congressman Wayne Hayes is reported in stable condition in a Barnesville, Ohio hospital after coming out of a coma induced by an overdose of sleeping pills. Blood tests have indicated that Hayes apparently took close to 10 times the prescribed dosage. The doctor says it's unclear if the overdose was accidental or deliberate. Hayes is under investigation in a payroll sex scandal involving a former staff secretary. Congressman John Young of Texas says he'll take the sex scandal brewing in his office to the House Ethics Committee. A former staff secretary, Colleen Gardner, has charged Congressman Young pressured her into a sexual relationship, allowing her little time to catch up on office work. She says she quit her $26,000 a year job last March in disgust. and without evidence to back up her allegations. Congressman Young says Mrs. Gardner was on the payroll for office work she did, and did well.
I can assure you categorically that she was not hired for sex. And she has come up through the ranks, so to speak. And I would welcome your further investigation into this. She's one of the fastest typists on the Hill.
There is a possibility of a new confrontation in the Lebanese war, this one along the Syrian and Iraqi border. Iraq has made what is being called a propaganda point of dispatching a military force of unknown size on an uncertain mission in the direction of the border, ostensibly to help the Palestinians. Iraq is not one of the states asked by the Arab League to be part of a joint peacekeeping force in Lebanon. Algeria and Libya, two of the five states contributing troops to that effort, reportedly already have men on Lebanese soil. The truce they are assigned to police does not officially exist. Now this.
At Ramada Inns, kids 18 and under stay free in their parents' room. Cribs for the little ones are free. And there's only a small charge for rollaway beds. Good reasons why so many people who travel with their families join the Ramada Regulars and prefer to stay with us whenever they go on vacation.
We're Ramada Regulars, Ramada's where we stay. Cause we take our kids with us when we go away. We're Ramada Regulars.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here. And, of course,
I'm Mike Roy. Yeah. We got a word of a delicious dish tomorrow. I'm the cooking thing over the CBS radio
network. Wait a second. I think we switched roles here, Chef. I'm supposed to do the announcing, and you're supposed to do the recipe.
I guess you're right at that. Tomorrow's going to be an old-fashioned apricot raisin pie.
Mm.
One that your family and friends are really going to enjoy.
They say that the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And I hope that's true of the pie, too. That sounds good, huh? Tune in. Cut yourself a slice tomorrow on the cook thing here on CBS.
Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau will make a bicentennial visit to Washington this week. He'll arrive with a picture book under his arm, his birthday gift to America. Inside are photographs showing the 5,000-mile frontier between the two countries. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac on achievement. It is said, nothing succeeds like success. And also, if you would climb the ladder to success, you must start at the bottom rung. But although success is sweeter than sugar, it has ruined many a man. For he who is of the opinion that money will do everything may well be suspected of doing everything for money. Finally, blessed be he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
At the insurance store, you get service second to none. In many cases, your problem can be handled right on the phone. In all cases, it'll be handled fairly, because we represent only companies that work that way, like Continental Insurance. For your nearest insurance store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
24 hours a day, every day. Bright and beautiful music, right here on KIXI.